We have been in the book of Acts, chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4 so far. Today, I'm going to finish up this series of messages in Acts chapter 5 and just teach a little bit, preach a little bit. We started this series a few weeks ago talking about a powerful church, and then we talked about a bold church, a courageous church, an uplifting church. And it's only befitting today that we talk about an unstoppable church. An unstoppable church. Why? Because a revolution does not stop. A revolution does not end. There is no stutter in a revolution. There is no misfire in a revolution. The things that we are beginning, the move that we are stepping into, the commitment that we are making, the thing that we are declaring, there is no going back from here. There is no backsliding from here. There is no retreating from here. And we know that Acts is teaching us and showing us what a revolution is all about. We've read from it each week, Acts 17 and 6. They were looking for Peter. They were looking for John. They were wanting to arrest them again. They're searching through houses. They go into this man Jason's house looking to arrest apostles, and they do not find them there hiding under beds or crouched down in closets, and they look at Jason, the host of this house, and they say, but we can see it on your face. You are some of them. These are who have turned the world upside down. We identify you. We recognize you. And so our heart in this teaching series is that we can be the church that our community needs. And I'll just say it boldly. Our community needs this church. Our community needs churches just like this. I know it doesn't feel like that sometimes. I know in our nation as a whole, the church is being ostracized and marginalized and quieted in many circles. But if you were to take the church out of the world, if you were to remove the church from America, it's amazing the difference that it would make. I'm talking about the church is the first one on the scene to help people in times of disaster. If you were to take our generosity out of the equation, it's unbelievable all the things that would dry up. And I know people don't even realize that, taken for granted in so many aspects. That's why Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't even realize what is happening. So we're going to continue to be who the Lord has called us to be. We're going to have a revolution, and this community is going to feel the effects of the Church Covington being on fire for God. Does anybody believe that today and receive that in Jesus' name? So I'm going to go to Acts 5, but before I actually read those verses, I want to give you a little context today, because what we've seen in Acts 1, 2, 3, 4 is not only the infancy, not only the beginning of the early church. Of course, we've talked about Luke writing both the gospel according to Luke and the book of Acts. He's wanting there to be this historical account of both the early life of Jesus, the life of Jesus, and the early church. But now, into chapter 5, we are a few years in. We are a few years into the days of the church. I realize just a few years, you know, it's just a few when you compare it to the now 2,000 years that we have been out at this. But the church is growing. They're growing in multiple ways. They're growing numerically. They're growing spiritually. These apostles who were just brand new to faith a few years ago, Jesus called them off of fishing boats. He broke up fights and called them to come and follow him. These were not men who had served God. These were not men who had walked with the Lord. They were brand new converts in church lingo, just brand new to faith. And so just a few years as apostles, they are maturing and growing in their faith. They're understanding things of the Spirit. They're writing as the Holy Spirit reveals to them and inspires them and shows them and teaches them. So the church is growing numerically. The church is growing spiritually, but the church is growing in opposition as well. Growing in opposition. And this is not uncommon. This is actually a mark of success, because the Bible says that through much tribulation, we are going to see the kingdom of God. Through much struggle, Paul would say later on, when I would do good, evil is present. Every time I start walking in the right direction, there's somebody trying to turn me around. There's something trying to get me off track. There's something trying to grab my focus and just get me off of my pace and mess me up. I might suggest to you on this rainy Sunday that if things are too easy in your life, you may be asking too little. If things are running too smoothly, then you may not be a threat to hell right now. And I don't say that to judge. I don't say that to condemn. I just want to make sure that we are a threat to hell. I want to make sure that my prayers, I want to make sure that my life, I want to make sure that my worship, I want to make sure that my faith is a threat to everything the enemy has planned in my world. I'm going to pray for lost loved ones. I'm going to pray for my kids. I'm going to pray for all of it, because I refuse to be beaten by the enemy. Has anybody else already made up your mind? So opposition is growing, but these young apostles are learning that when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Where are we going? What are we doing? What has God called us to? What is God speaking over us? What is God putting into our hearts? And so they're facing this opposition. The apostles are arrested, and then they are released. Then they are rearrested. That's the context of Acts chapter 5. And they are marched into this glorious room. They are marched into this beautiful, ornate courtroom, if you will. It's filled with the brightest minds and the most powerful people in Judaism. They should be intimidated. They should be nervous. But instead, these men preach the same Jesus, the same message, the same faith that they have been preaching in the streets. They were not bashful. They were not ashamed. It's not, well, I typed that on Facebook, but then when I met you in person, I suddenly didn't feel the same way. It's not this keyboard warrior versus this face-to-face. People are not nearly as bold face-to-face as they are behind the screen. That's another message for another time, but these men are bold. These men are unafraid. These men are consumed by their calling. And the Sanhedrin, whom they are standing in front of, the men who are judging them, the men who seemingly hold their fate and their future in their hands, they are upset because they have lost control. First, it was this resurrection they could not explain. And then it's all of these miracles that they do not understand. And if that's not enough, it's the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of converts. And all of it is leading to jealousy. But these disciples are unafraid and they refuse to back down. So let me read a few verses in Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 33. When they heard this, speaking about the Sanhedrin, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Peter, John, we want you to go wait outside. Apostles, we want you to go wait outside so we can talk. Verse 35, then he addressed the Sanhedrin, men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed. All his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you. So we see what happened with these two other guys, but in this case, in the case of Peter and John, in the case of these apostles, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. I'm telling you, this word is powerful. His speech persuaded them, verse 40. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. That means they beat them half to death. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles, verse 41, left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. They just got beat, but they're rejoicing. They got blood running down their cheek, but they're rejoicing. They're hobbled and a little stumbled and a little punch drunk, but they left rejoicing. I'm going to preach today, sleep or no sleep. Rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Where they been? I ain't seen them at church. You know, they got offended. These men were beaten half to death, and they're rejoicing that they were counted worthy. Rejoicing they were, Lord have mercy, I'm going to leave it alone. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Look at somebody and tell them, we got to be an unstoppable church. Got to be unstoppable. We can't succumb to every whim. We can't fall out. We can't lose heart with every little thing that arises or comes into our lives. Who is this Gamaliel? He's a leading elder among the Sanhedrin. He's one of them, but apparently he has some sense. He's one of these Sanhedrin who are angry and enraged. All these men can see is blood. Their jealousy has made them rabid against truth. You know why? Because the enemy hates truth. The enemy hates truth. I don't have it in my notes, and I don't have time to chase that rabbit very far down the trail. But hear me, we need truth in 2023. I know everybody's talking about your truth and my truth, and just let her speak her truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's only one truth. It's not your truth and my truth. We're not talking about your version of events. We're talking about the truth. The only way you combat confusion, the only way you deal with complete chaos is with truth. That's why God being our help every single Sunday, we are going to declare the whole counsel of God from this pulpit and preach truth, because truth is what makes you free. The enemy hates truth. Gamaliel makes two statements that will make the difference in this situation. You read them in verses 38 and 39. Essentially, he says, if it's of man, it can't succeed. But if it's of God, it cannot fail. I want you to remember this today, because you're going to need it probably right now in your life. But if not right now, very soon. What's ultimately true is not always immediately clear. Sit with that just a moment. What is ultimately true is not always immediately clear. So let's take these statements one at a time. For if their purpose or activity is of human nature, it will fail. This is ultimately true, but it is not always immediately clear. Because we have all of this evil happening in the world right now. We have all of this chaos happening in the world right now, and it appears that the evil and the chaos is successful. It appears that that is what is working. Wow, God-fearing, God-loving, truth-keeping people are just shrunk back in a corner somewhere, feeling defeated, feeling lost, feeling as though their prayers are not getting very far up into the heavens. What is ultimately true is not always immediately clear. Job 21 and 7, he's asking, why do the wicked live on, growing old and increasing in power? Hear me if you don't hear anything else. When God wraps everything up, when all of this is complete and finished, what is born of men will fail. So much of this stuff being talked about in our media right now, what is born of man is not going to win. I know it doesn't seem clear right now. I know that doesn't seem obvious right now, but hear me, God is going to prevail. God is going to win. Truth is going to survive every lie that's ever been told on it. We can't always see that in the present. And then he says, if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You'll only be fighting against God. This is ultimately true. But it's not always immediately clear. It's not clear in the lives of these disciples. I mean, in this very chapter, I'm not even talking about chapter 4 or 3 or 2 or 1 or any challenge they face, just right here in this chapter, chapter 5, if you read it from top to bottom, you're gonna see that there are miracles, there is preaching, there is healing, there is incredible generosity, but these disciples are arrested. That's a setback. Then they are released. That's a victory. I'm still in chapter 5. It's all in chapter 5. Then they're arrested again. That's a setback. They're re-released. That's a victory. They're beaten half to death. That's a setback. They have the opportunity to preach to the Sanhedrin. That's a victory. Ultimately, they are released. That is a victory. Just let me know when I begin describing an average month in your life. Where it feels like one day I'm up and the next day I'm down. One day it feels like I'm winning. 2 days later, I'm losing. What in the world? What's going on? I can't figure this out. We used to say it like this. I'm getting one step forward and going two steps back. That's what it looks like for these disciples, because what is ultimately true is not always immediately clear. And depending on the moment you catch these disciples, you're not sure if they're on the winning side or the losing side. I just saw them the other day and they were in handcuffs, and now today they're preaching on the street. I cannot keep up. I can't keep up, and this is just one chapter. This is just a snapshot of a few days in their lives. But hear me, when God wraps everything up, what is of God cannot fail. Because if his calling is on your life and his mandate is over your life and his anointing is on your life, it doesn't matter what fiery darts the enemy throws at you. It doesn't matter what trials come to you. It doesn't matter what struggles happen in your life. If you will not quit, you cannot fail. If you will not throw in the towel, you will not lose the victory. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, you got to keep moving forward. And when you don't have the strength to move forward, you stand. You stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Who am I preaching to today? Having done all to stand, stand therefore unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because what is ultimately true is not always immediately clear. There's people in this room that it's not clear to you how strong God is on your side. There's people in this room that it's not immediately clear how powerful and how big God is in your life. There's people online today that you just couldn't deal with it today. You just stayed in. And I thank God that you're with us online, but I need to preach to you, because what is ultimately true in your life is not always immediately clear. God is on your side. God is working for you. God is moving in your situation. You say, wait a minute, that's not clear to me. I know what's ultimately true is not always immediately clear. That's why I can't get ahead of myself, but I gotta see with eyes of faith. I gotta see with eyes of faith. I can't miss it. I can't miss it. So Gamaliel gives this speech, and then we see what happens. Acts 5, 40 and 42, his speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped. Beat these apostles half to death, and they still went back rejoicing. They still went preaching more fervently than ever. You say, surely, Pastor Darrell, surely they left that courthouse. Obviously, they needed to get bandaged up. I mean, they were flogged. They were beaten. They were beaten. That was the deterrent that was used. Don't ever speak in the name of Jesus again. But remember, just last chapter, they were arrested and told the same thing. Don't preach anymore. Don't preach in the name of Jesus. But they went back preaching in the name of Jesus. That's why they were rearrested in chapter 5. They leave the Sanhedrin courthouse. They're hobbled. They're stumbling. They're bruised. They're bloodied. But I have a feeling, ladies and gentlemen, these men didn't even go home. They went right back to the marketplace saying, "Can I tell you about Jesus?" They counted themselves worthy. Who are you that's putting the pillow over your head? Who are you that's pulling the covers up? Who are you that's trying to hide from life, just hoping that hiding is going to make it all go away? No, no, no. Come on. It's to punch him right in the nose. I know we got kids that deal with bullying. Maybe we'll have a small group of how to deal with a bully. We're going to have to sign a waiver, though, moms and dads, because we're going to have to tell the truth in that small group. I had a bully in the seventh grade. Some guy got out. I was just a lover. I wasn't a fighter. Went through a little season of my life. I had me a white, remember Miami Vice? He wore them jackets with them sleeves pulled up. I was wearing it that day, white blazer. My kids are so horrified right now, but have my sleeves pulled up, and here come that bully again. Here he come, gonna mess with me. Here he come, gonna call me names. And here the little crowd gathered around at Hoffman Middle School right there on West Little York in Houston, Texas. Here come that little crowd. We were in the cubby of the lockers, and I finally had enough. It had been day after day. It had been in the locker room. It had been in the restroom. It had been out on the parking. It had been everywhere. Just one time after, and I finally had enough and turned around on that bully and got my fist up toward his nose. It's amazing how fast that bully ran. It's amazing he never messed with me again. It's amazing he never bothered me again. It's amazing nobody else ever messed with me again. Listen, some of you are just one uppercut in the Holy Ghost away from the devil never bothering you again. Pastor Dell, I'm just not sure about all this violence you're talking about. I know. We got a bunch of snowflakes in the world today. Can't handle no business. But we need to handle some business in 2023. Because I'm tired of running. I'm tired of tucking tail. I'm tired of being afraid of the enemy. The greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. My flesh may fail. My mind may wander. But I'm telling you, God that's on the inside of me is greater than the world that is against me. Come on, devil. I got something for you. Is anybody ready to fight in this room today? I'll be sweet next week. They beat these apostles, but beating them had no effect on them. Actually, it had the opposite effect because they were unstoppable. That's who you and I need to be. We need to be unstoppable. This world, this community needs an unstoppable church. Believers who can take a licking and keep on ticking. Yeah. 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 Because ladies and gentlemen, these light and momentary afflictions, these things that we are dealing with, I'm not doom and gloom, but I will preach truth. They're only going to get worse. And you got to decide now who you are and who you're going to be and who you belong to. Got to know who we are. The Sanhedrin tried to kill the message that the world needed the most, but the church wouldn't shut up or be stopped. This world that we live in hates this message more than ever, but it needs this message more than it ever has. That's why we got to keep preaching. You preach truth, they say you're hateful. You say what the Bible says, they say you're being hateful. No, I love you, But this is what the Bible says. I care about you, but this is what the Bible says. I have to preach what the Bible says. We cannot stop now. So let me get practical for a moment. How do we become an unstoppable church? Because that's what I'm interested in. An unstoppable church that no matter what happens, let a pandemic, another pandemic come. Let more trouble come. This is how we remain unstoppable in the face of it all. Number one, we have to have faithfulness. Faithfulness. Gamaliel said it ultimately, what is of God will prevail. And what is of man will fail. This means we have a responsibility to align our lives with God, with His Word, and with His will. The question is not whether God is on my side, but whether I am on His side. Because the current climate, current world theology, world's theology, not biblical theology. The world's faith draws lines and demands that God be on their side. And if you don't agree with us, then you don't love God. But God has already drawn a line. Before anybody in 2023 could draw a line, there was already a line drawn. You have people now, you have great and notable ministries now saying, I'm just not sure about the truth of the Bible. Just not sure if the Word of God still needs to be our barometer or thermostat or gauge. Well, pray tell. Who should we believe if not the Bible? You? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word. If an angel comes preaching any other gospel, let him be accursed. It's my word. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how popular they are. I don't care how great an author they are. I don't care how big their church is. If it's not in the book, if it's not in the word, I don't want it. I don't have to be ugly. I don't have to be hateful. I don't have to be unkind. But I can mark them that cause division. Strong preaching, I know. We've got to be faithful. We've got to be faithful. God doesn't work that way. I know people believe the Bible is outdated. I hear it almost every week. You got to come out of that old book written to people thousands of years ago. Thou shalt not kill worked then. What we gonna update that to? It still works. So God has drawn a line with His word and requires that we lay down our lives to get on His side. What is the ultimate victory? What is winning victory? And winning is laying down our lives and following Him. Being found faithful. Being found faithful in suspect times, in compromising times, in challenging times, in political times. Being found faithful. Number two. We have to have faith. It's really hard to be faithful if you don't have faith. And since what is ultimately true is not always immediately clear, we have to see things from a different perspective. Because if I look with my natural eye, I may see circumstance. I may see problems. I may see issues. I may see challenges and difficulty. and impossibility. That's why I have to see with eyes of faith. By faith, we bring the ultimate into our immediate. Remember, what is ultimately true is not always immediately clear, but by faith, I bring what is ultimately true into my immediate. By faith, we see and believe the ultimate in spite of the immediate. I'm not trying to be cute or clever. I hope that's making sense. Because I'm able to bring what is not clear to me, but through faith, I'm able to see beyond all the circumstantial stuff. I'm able to see beyond all of the bad news looking stuff and the scary looking stuff. By faith, I'm able to bring the immediate into my now. That's why I don't have to wait till the end to celebrate. I can taste victory right now. I know my teenager seems to be making some missteps, but because I have faith and because I have sown seed and because I have established how this has to be, I can go ahead and celebrate their healing and their wholeness and their spiritual maturity. I can celebrate that now, even while they're still acting dumb, because I'm looking at this through faith. Is the word helping anybody today? Hebrews 11:1, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is not just for my good days. Faith is especially good on my bad days. Anybody ever have a bad day? It's amazing how when you're having a bad day, your faith is also low. That's the enemy. You got to reverse that. When I'm having a bad day, whoa, my faith looks up to thee, oh God. It's amazing. You really can't have up faith and a bad day, because faith that is up will not allow the day to stay bad. That's why you ought to start your day in faith. Don't wait until the tire goes flat. Don't wait until noon to see just kind of how things are going to play out. Go ahead and start your day in faith. When you start your day in faith, that stuff comes, that stuff happens, but it just rolls right off of your back because you started this day in faith. Wake up Monday morning and say, you know what? This is going to be a faith-filled day. It doesn't matter what comes. It doesn't matter what news arrives. It doesn't matter what shows up in the mailbox. This is going to be a faithful and faith-filled day in my life. And on those days, on those challenging days, I can celebrate the victory even while I'm tasting defeat. That's how the church changed the world. That's how they changed the world. They weren't limiting God to what they saw around them. They saw better. They saw greater. And you know what? You cannot stop a person like that. You cannot stop a person who is full of faith. That's why I want to be full of faith. Look at somebody and tell them, be full of faith. I know that's challenging. I know that's harder to do than it is to say. But it has to become the reality of our lives. I'm not going to limit God because of what I see around me. I'm going to see better. I'm going to be a believer who actually believes. This is not just a Sunday thing for me. This is an everyday thing for me. How do you stop a person who, like Romans 5:3 says, rejoices in suffering? How do you stop a person like Philippians 1:21 describes? For to me, For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I live, great, but if I die, even better. Even better. How do you stop someone like that? How do you kill someone like that? You can't. You can't. You take all the power from the enemy and you leave the enemy scratching his head saying, I've tried everything. I've tried every dart. I've tried every scheme. I've tried every plan of attack. I've tried everything and I cannot beat them. So the only thing I know to do is to cut a wide path around them and leave them alone. I want to be that kind of man. You want to be that kind of woman, full of faith, full of faith, full of faith. I'm a child of God who is called by God. And I'm aligning my life with God. And whatever may happen in my immediate, it's all good because I have the ultimate victory. Thank you, Jesus. They marched these disciples. I think baptism people, they a lot of people just got up and left. I pray all them people are getting baptized. Praise God. Got about 50 people getting baptized in just a minute. If you want to be baptized today, come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. They marched these disciples into the great hall of the Sanhedrin. It appeared to be weakness on trial by strength. They were questioned. They were threatened. They were beaten. They looked weak and broken when they left that day. That was their immediate. But they left rejoicing. And Gamaliel told us why. What is of man will fail. What is of God cannot be stopped. You know what's interesting to me? The Sanhedrin no longer exists. And the Church of the Living God is still going. Because what is of man will fail. And what is of God cannot be stop. What do your eyes see today? What are you believing for today? Do you have eyes of faith? I want to challenge you this morning, no matter where you are, no matter what's happening in your life, whether you're just baby Christian, young believer, just fresh in your faith and saying, what, wow, what all is this? Or whether you are seasoned saint with years and years under your belt. I've seen it all. I've experienced it all. You haven't, but I get it. No matter where you are, what would happen if you and I would align our lives with Jesus. Just getting in His Word and growing and understanding and seeing everything that He has for us. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're baptizing in just a moment. But if you're in this room today and you're ready to take that step of aligning your life with the Word of God. What does that mean? What's that mean in my immediate? What does that mean with where I am right now? Romans 10 says that if I will confess with my mouth, if I believe in my heart that Jesus rose from the dead, if I'll confess that, if I'll believe that, I will be saved. There's people that have said yes to Jesus. There's others today that are taking their next step in identifying with him in baptism. Wherever you are today, I want to align my life with the word of God, his will, his presence in my life. Father, I pray today for hearts and heads, minds, and spirit in this room. People online with us today, I pray that we could align ourselves with your word, with truth, with understanding, with clarity, with the passion, the presence that a life in you affords. I pray that you would lead us. I pray that you would direct us. I pray for every single person in this room that's facing situations and challenges. It's not immediately clear how you're working. It's not immediately clear how you're moving in their life. It's not immediately clear to them how you are healing and helping and the difference that you are making. But today, Father, today I pray that it could become clear, more clear than it's ever been, how powerful you can be and want to be and will be in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Why don't you stand on your feet today? Thank you, Lord. Say there's a hunger. We're going to baptize.
I am desperate.
Yes, I am.
Immerse me.